tag players. As I mentioned, you had the Baltimore Ravens franchise tagging their nose tackle, Justin Matabuke, coming off a great season. The Panthers franchise tag their linebacker, Brian Burns. Chicago franchises their cornerback, Jalen Johnson. Cincinnati and Indianapolis franchise two wide receivers, T. Higgins and Mike Pittman. Josh Allen, the linebacker for the Jaguars, gets the franchise tag. Lejarius Sneed of the Kansas City Chiefs. Cornerback over there in Tampa Bay franchises Antoine Winfield, a safety. And, of course, Kyle Duggar gets the transition tag as a safety as well. So which ones need to get a long-term contract first? The sense of urgency here to get a deal done. Because a lot of these teams, especially in Chicago's case, they are actively trying to get a long-term deal done with Jalen Johnson. That has been a priority for Ryan Poles in that front office. Same thing in Baltimore. They're working to get a long-term deal done with Justin Matabuke. As for some other guys, there's the possibility of a franchise tag and trade scenario. Apparently up to seven teams have reached out to the Kansas City Chiefs, including the New England Patriots, about the availability of Lejarius Sneed via trade. So the possibility of him being franchise tagged, then traded, is still very much out there. That opportunity stands with T. Higgins, as well as Brian Burns, I'm reading. So discuss the sense of urgency around the NFL to get a long-term deal done. Number one for me, the first one, you got to get a long-term deal done. Josh Allen. Josh Allen, the linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are a team that is building towards a Super Bowl. I know last year had a very, very disappointing ending. But back in 2019, this was their seventh overall pick. He has panned out really, really nicely for them. And last year, coming off his best season of his career, where he played in all 17 games and registered 17.5 total sacks to go along with 66 total tackles. In the past 2 years, he has played 17 games each of the past 2 years. The year before that, in 2021, he played in 16 out of 17. So what I'm trying to say is he is available. The best ability is availability, and he has been a menace in the middle of the field for that defense for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if you want to point out defense or offense, which one's kind of the more weak spot for the Jaguars, it's got to be defensively. I think they need to put a focal point on retaining Josh Allen on a long-term deal. Still just 26 years old, a freak athlete, 6'5", 250 pounds, a big point in that defense. They need to get him on a long-term deal. I would not expect him to be one of those guys that gets traded once being given the franchise tag. He would be number one on the urgency meter of getting a long-term deal done. Number two for me would be in Baltimore, and kind of for a similar reason. Justin Matabuke, similar to the Jaguars, this Baltimore team is a team with Super Bowl aspirations right now. They're not in a rebuilding phase. They're not trying to regroup and retool this team. They are ready to win now. And Justin Matabuke, at 26 years old, is a big part of that. And he has gotten better every single year. I mentioned the best ability, availability. Last two seasons, Matabuke has played and started in all 17 games. Last year, a big improvement. He had 13 total sacks. He was great in the playoffs. He's a guy that one of the best nose tackles in the game. Opens things up for those edge rushers and linebackers, as we've seen in Baltimore. They need to get a deal done for Justin Matabuke, especially competing with those other great teams in the AFC. Number three for me, a guy that we already mentioned. It looks like Ryan Poles is going to get a deal done. That's what everything I've heard is saying. But Jalen Johnson has appeared as one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, top 10, maybe even top 5. He's going to be entering year 5, just 24 years old, out of Utah. He originally was a second-round pick, and he has flourished on that defense with Matt Eberflus as head coach. He is one of the best cornerbacks in the game. Chicago is a team with a lot of cap space, a lot of draft capital, and they are trending in the right direction. Jalen Johnson has to be a focal point on that defense. I would expect a long-term deal to get done, but he is up next on my urgency meter for long-term deals. Number four for me here is Kyle Duggar. Kyle Duggar of the Patriots. He just kind of embodies that kind of scrappy play style that you want to see in that Gerard Mayo is trying to push for this new look Patriots, this new culture Patriots. He's a guy who's always played with a chip on his shoulder, originally coming into the league as a second round pick out of not a major college, Lenoir Ryan College. Everybody, I remember he got picked before Xavier McKinney out of Alabama. Everybody, including myself, was saying, what the hell? What are we doing? Why didn't you take Xavier McKinney? Instead, you go with Kyle Duggar, who no one really had heard of in that draft. And it turned out to be a great pick by Bill Belichick. We don't really talk about those picks that Bill Belichick did hit on. This was certainly one of them. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's always been available for the Patriots. A hard-hitting safety. He had 109 total tackles last year. This is a deal that the Patriots need to get done. Don't put him on that transition tag. Get a long-term deal done. Number five on that list for me would be L'Jarius Sneed. And this is obviously complicated for the Kansas City Chiefs. So this is a guy that very well could be traded. And wherever he goes, I think he will get a long-term deal, whether it is with the Chiefs or with somebody else. But the Chiefs right now are just so strapped with cap. Even with the cap rising this year, salary cap going up this year, they're still so kind of strapped in terms of what they can do because they have so many big contracts already on their payroll. But L'Jarius Sneed has been a guy that's been with him for his first 4 years in the NFL and gotten better every single year. Sneed in these playoffs was sensational for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was awesome on that defensive end for the Kansas City Chiefs, a large reason why they were able to go where they go, get where they got. And obviously, it's tough to, we saw it with the Patriots. You know, it's tough to maintain a dynasty run just because everybody feels like they deserve more money. But this is a guy who is well worth it. And whether or not it comes from the Chiefs, L'Jarius Sneed will get paid. Same thing here for my next one up, Brian Burns. Brian Burns, you don't really hear too much about him because Carolina's small market. And for lack of better words, they've been really bad for the past few seasons. But Brian Burns is going to be entering his sixth year in the NFL, played his first five with the Carolina Panthers. Originally out of FSU as a first-round 16 overall pick, he has been outstanding on this defense. Last year, had 8 sacks to go along with 50 tackles. Pass rusher can drop into coverage as well. A versatile linebacker. He's a guy who will get a long-term contract, but with the outlook of Carolina right now, it's hard to say that they'll be the ones to give him that contract because I don't know that anybody, even in that organization, knows what the direct future really looks like for the Carolina Panthers. After that, I'm going to go with Mike Pittman. Getting a long-term contract done with Mike Pittman. I have him lower on the list because I don't think it's going to be that hard as opposed to some of these other guys. Mike Pittman is in a crowded wide receiver market, and while he is the best wide receiver in that Indianapolis Colts locker room, I don't think anybody's out there saying he's a top 10 receiver. Or even maybe a top 15. He's a very good receiver, but is he as prolific as the Justin Jeffersons, the Jamar Chases? No, not really. Last year, at 26 years old, coming off his best year of his career, career high in receptions, career high in yards. He did that with a backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew. Keeping him around for your young quarterback, Anthony Richardson, once he comes back from injury this season will be huge. So getting a deal done is important, but I don't think it's going to be as hard for Jim Irsay in the Indianapolis Colts as some of these other guys. He's not going to command quite the contract as you'll see with some of these other guys around the league. After that, another one for me, Antoine Winfield rounds out kind of the bottom of the list here. I don't see this as big of a focal point, as you know, urgent as some of those other guys. Like I said, Justin Madubuike, and Josh Allen. The sense of urgency to get a deal done has to be there for Jacksonville and the Baltimore Ravens. As for Antoine Winfield with Tampa Bay, I don't know that urgency is necessarily as there. He's an undersized safety. Yes, he's been really good in his first 4 years in the NFL at 25 years old. Last year, he's coming off a career year where he had 122 total tackles to go along with 6 sacks coming from the secondary. But again, this is a Tampa Bay team that really has a kind of fuzzy look of what their future path is going to be, and whether that is going to be some sort of a rebuild because we don't know what's going on at quarterback right now, or if that's going to be let's go all in to try to win a very bad NFC South right now. So I don't know that Antoine Winfield is a priority. I think that quarterback, addressing that situation would be a priority, number one. And then some other things on that defense as well. A bad offensive line that's just getting older and older, that's got to be a priority as well. So I don't know that that's a top priority for this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. And then kind of the last one out of those franchise-tagged guys of the sense of urgency to get a new contract, sorry to say it, but would be T. Higgins. And it's really for the reason that, yes, T. Higgins is a very, very talented receiver, just 25 years old. He's coming off a down year where he couldn't stay healthy. And on top of that, we all know who the number one receiver over there is. It's Ja'Marr Chase. You know, him and Joe Burrow have that chemistry. They have that relationship. So let's be honest. If they lose T. Higgins, is it really the end of the world? No, I don't think so. You can address grabbing another receiver, whether it's in free agency, a busy receiving free agency class this year, and going into next year as well. A lot of great receivers in the draft as well. So the urgency to get T. Higgins a new contract, I think it's on the lower end of all these franchise tags. But those are your franchise tagged guys. Which one needs a long-term contract? Again, I think the headliners of that list, you got to be giving Josh Allen and Justin Matabuke their long-term contracts if you're Jacksonville and Baltimore. And again, Jalen Johnson, another one there. And Kyle Duggar. Kyle Duggar for this new-look Patriots squad, a big one as well. Just to try to keep that culture. Keep that culture intact and develop that around Jerod Mayo. With that being said, more news across the NFL as guys getting franchise tagged. We also had some players getting released. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. A lot of news coming from Seattle. We'll get to that in a second. But a lot of teams releasing players to try to create cap space ahead of that March 13th free agency start. Again, that is next Wednesday. So we have news today from up in Buffalo. The Bills informed safety Jordan Poyer he is being released. The Bills will open up $5.7 million in salary cap space by this move. So that clears the way. No more Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. They're now going to be free agents. One of the most underrated kind of safety tandems in the NFL. The end of an era over there for that Bills defense. Both Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer for the Bills set for free agency. Speaking of safety duos, I mentioned yesterday that Quandre Diggs, as well as his teammate, Jamal Adams, were released as well by the Seattle Seahawks. Well, they had some more as well. They also released defensive tackle Brian Moen. Then that release will create $5.4 million in total cap space for Seattle. So on top of releasing that kind of a safety duo in Seattle, they are also getting rid of nose tackle Brian Moen, which will create $5.4 total. With those three releases, Seattle created about $25 million in available cap space. So two teams, Buffalo and Seattle, getting rid of their kind of safety duos over there that have been there for a bit. More release talk here. The Bengals are expected to release veteran running back Joe Mixon. That has not come out yet, but it is widely expected that the Bengals will release Joe Mixon. Keeping an eye on that, Mixon has played his whole career with the Cincinnati Bengals and is widely expected that Mixon will also be a cap casualty once free agency starts. As for some linebackers, I mentioned yesterday that the Dolphins had moved on from their veteran linebacker, Jerome Baker. Baker played and started in a total of 82 games for the Miami Dolphins. He was a third-round pick back in 2018. They released him. On top of that, we have the Chargers releasing their veteran linebacker, Eric Kendricks. Eric Kendricks yesterday was released by the Chargers. He signed a two-year, $13 million contract with the Chargers last year. They are going to release him. The move saves the Chargers $6.5 million as Eric Kendricks has also been released at that linebacker position by the Los Angeles Chargers. Speaking of linebackers slash pass rushers, it's up for debate. The Cowboys are exercising the fifth-year option on star pass rusher Micah Parsons. The twist here, they are designated him as a defensive end rather than a linebacker, which is cheaper by about $3 million. The Cowboys aren't the ones who decide that position. Micah Parsons is classified as a pass rusher by the NFL Management Council. So a lot of people last night had thought that this was a kind of a move by the Cowboys that, you know, was a cheap move by them. Micah Parsons can protest this decision by the NFL Management Committee. The fifth-year option for the linebacker position is $24 million, whereas the fifth-year option for a defensive end is $21.3 million. So Parsons can file a grievance should he choose to disagree, but the fifth-year option has been picked up for Cowboys linebacker slash pass rusher Micah Parsons. I'll keep you updated on that, whether or not he does actually file a grievance with the NFL. More news in the NFL here. Three-time Pro Bowler tight end Zach Ertz has signed with the Washington Commanders on a one-year, $5 million deal. It reunites Zach Ertz with his former head coach Cliff Kingsbury, who he played for back in Arizona. They had a lot of success together, and Cliff Kingsbury targeted Ertz a lot in a total of three seasons, 28 total games. Ertz with Kingsbury over in Arizona had 103 total receptions, over 1,100 yards, and 8 touchdowns. So the veteran tight end had some success with Kingsbury, and he is headed back to join him in Washington, where, of course, Kingsbury accepted the job as the team's offensive coordinator. I will have a full rundown of all the new free agents once kind of all the dust settles, but we still have guys getting released from teams as, again, teams try to create as much cap space as possible as we approach that free agent start, which, of course, is a week from today. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here, going to come back and talk a little basketball, so don't go anywhere. Listen to the Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
The following is a summary of the general contest rules for 3G broadcasting. For a contest, entry requirements will be announced on air. Winners will be determined in accordance with the criteria set forth in the on-air announcement. 3G broadcasting is not responsible for unusable entries. Station is not responsible for entries not received due to technical difficulties. Station is not responsible for any lost, disconnected, dropped, misdirected, or incomplete telephone calls. Entrants may be disqualified at the sole discretion of the station. Each contest is open to all station listeners who are legal United States citizens 18 years of age or older who reside in the station's listening area. The station shall have the right to change these eligibility requirements based on the individual contest in question. Listeners are eligible to win a contest only once every 30 days. Only one winner per household is permitted in any contest. Participants in the contest must possess valid government-issued photo ID and sign a liability release as a condition of receiving any prize. Winners must meet all eligibility requirements. Prizes will be announced within the specific contest on-air announcements. Contest prizes are non-transferable. Winners will receive a 1099 IRS tax form if the total of all prizes won for the current year equal more than $600 in value. Prizes are limited solely to those items explicitly set forth here, and it shall not include any or all expenses, incidentals, or taxes that may arise out of the winner's receipt of the prize. Decisions of station management with respect to the contest are final. Odds of winning vary per contest. Payment of all federal, state, and local taxes are the sole responsibility of the winner. Winners will be required to sign an IRS Form W-9 or the equivalent. Failure or refusal to execute the release will result to the winner forfeiting the prize. Photo identification and social security number of the grand prize winner may also be required in order to collect the prize. For internet contests, the station, at its sole discretion, reserves the right to disqualify any person tampering with the entry process. The station reserves the right in its sole discretion to modify the contest rules and dates at any time for any reason. No purchase is necessary. The contest is void where prohibited. Copies of the written contest rules and a list of all the winners are available during regular business hours at the main studio of the radio station, 23 Connell Highway, Newport, Rhode Island 02840.
Looking to grow your business or expand your network? If so, the Southern Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce is the place for you. We are a member-based organization whose purpose is to grow businesses within our community. Located in Wakefield, Rhode Island, we offer a range of services such as continuing education, networking opportunities, state and local advocacy, referrals, and so much more.
Membership is only $285 annually,
and we offer flexible payment plans that can fit any budget. To learn more, visit our website at srichamber.com. We look forward to working with you.
Humphreys Building Supply, 1540 WADK, and Mix 99.3 present the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce Business of the Week.
Born to Rise Photography and Mindfulness Workshops empower individuals to be seen from the inside out. Kim Fuller Photography will help you shine in front of the camera, on a stage, and in your own life. She will help you find your uniqueness because you and your story matter. Go to KimFullerPhotography.com for the whole story.
Think, be, and support local. Start with this business of the week.
At Humphreys Building Supply, they know a thing or two about living and building in Rhode Island. They've been doing it for over 130 years. Their commitment to this community sets them apart from the big box stores. They are here to provide you top quality products and the personal service you've come to expect. So whether you're looking for doors, windows, paint, or are considering a kitchen redesign or an addition to your house, you need to visit one of their locations in Tiverton at 590 Main Road or Middletown at 8 Cottington Highway or Humphreys Paint Center at 750 Aquidneck Avenue. Online at buildwiththeh.com.
From Newport RI, 1540 WADK and WADK FM 101.1.
All right, back here on the Big Ticket. Talk a little basketball as last night over in Cleveland, the Boston Celtics 11-game win streak was snapped by the Cleveland Cavaliers on Kelce Brother nights, no less. Listen, I want to like clap up Cleveland. They did a good job, and I'm not making any sort of excuses here. I want to preface that. Cleveland is a good team. They got this win without their best player, Donovan Mitchell, on top of that. They didn't have Evan Mobley as well, so they were down. And this was a great win for them. I don't want to take away from that at all. But to stay consistent with what I've always talked about and what I've always reiterated on this show, the NBA officiating is absolutely laughable. And I won't get into some of the Kristaps Porzingis miscalls that Zach Zarba, the crew chief, who is a well-known referee around the NBA, just completely missed. And you could see Kristaps getting actively frustrated with him. But I do want to discuss the end of this game where in the fourth quarter, and again, credit, I want to make this clear, not make excuses, I want to make this very clear, credit to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They were outscored by the Celtics in every single quarter besides the fourth quarter. They snapped a 22-point lead, came back in the fourth quarter, outscored the Seas 34-17 in the fourth. On top of that, Dean Wade, off the bench, not a household name. Many people listening to this probably are like, who the hell is that? An outstanding game for him. 20 fourth quarter points. He single-handedly outscored the Boston Celtics in the fourth quarter. He was incredible. He was. Not taken away from that whatsoever. Now let's get to Zach Zarba. With that all being said, in the final possession of the game, you had... It was originally 103-104. Celtics were up. 104-103. Cleveland goes down the court. They get a bucket. It is now 105-104. Joe Mazzulla opts to have Jason Tatum bring the ball up and not call a timeout. Well, actually, that's not really the case because you could see Joe Mazzulla with 4.6 seconds left on the clock. He was trying to get the ref's attention to call a timeout. The timeout was not granted. You could see him emphatically on the bench trying to get a timeout. It was not granted. Okay, whatever. Fine. Play goes on. Jason Tatum's got the ball. He drives right. And listen, I thought right there Jason Tatum had got switched on to Darius Garland. Darius Garland just 6'1". Jason Tatum 6'9". You have a little bit of a mismatch right there. It looked like Jason Tatum had a lane to drive right. And he had the, obviously, size advantage. I would have liked to see him drive to the hole a little bit more, use his muscles. But with that being said, he does his classic Kobe fadeaway. And it originally is whistled as a foul. So it's whistled as a foul. The play is blown dead. Had it not been whistled a foul, Kristaps Porzingis was there for a putback. So it would have been points if it had not been whistled as a foul. Kristaps Porzingis got the offensive rebound, put it back up. But the play was blown dead, so that putback by Kristaps did not count. They instead called Darius Garland for a foul. That play was reviewed, and instead Zach Zarba says that Tatum kicked his leg out, which instead was an offensive foul. He kicked his leg up. Zarba's direct quote was, "In our opinion, there was a clear and conclusive evidence that the leg extension by Tatum created that marginal contact with the defender Garland where otherwise contact wouldn't have been made. That's why the call was overturned." Now, there's been a lot of speculation around the NBA about airspace and landing space. Darius Garland did not, and listen, you can say that Jason Tatum did kick his leg out, but in this possession, in this shot, Darius Garland did not give Jason Tatum space to land. Regardless of the leg kick, regardless of the shooting motion, Tatum did not have enough landing space. And that is a landing space foul. Again, it's ticky-tack, and then the old school basketball fans out there will say, "Well, that's BS. A landing space foul, what is that?" I understand, but by the nature of the rule in the NBA and what they've been calling all year long, you have to give the offensive shooter landing space. And Darius Garland did not do that. That's the call that tries to avoid ankle injuries, guys getting rolled up on their ankles. So that was issue number one with Zach Zarba. He didn't address that whatsoever. So on top of that, they overturn it, fine. They rule it's a jump ball. So it's Kristaps Porzingis, Jared Allen, jump ball at center court. What Brian Scalabrine pointed out on the broadcast, and I couldn't agree with more, was, okay, wait a second. They put 0.7 seconds on the clock. There was 0.7 seconds left on the clock when they did the jump ball, which basically gives the Celtics no chance to even gain possession and throw the ball up. Well, two issues here. First being, number one being, they put 0.7 seconds on the clock. That was when the ball was blown dead. That was not at the point of what they were calling the foul. When they say Darius Garland got fouled by Jason Tatum, there was around 2 seconds still left on the clock. They should have given the Celtics more time from 0.7 seconds to around 1.8 seconds left. That's how much time should have been left on for the Celtics at midcourt for that jump ball. Secondly here, and I know I'm getting ticky-tack, and if you're not a Celtics fan, you're probably annoyed with this. Secondly, on top of that, once they did that jump ball at center court, you are not supposed to start the clock until somebody who is not doing the tip-off gets possession. Instead, the clock was started the second that Kristaps Porzingis tipped it back to, I believe, Derek White retained the possession. That was also wrong. And obviously, it very well could have been meaningless, but at the least, all of those changes could have at least given the Celtics a chance for a half-court heave to win the game, and that was not granted by Zach Zarba. All the way through, it felt like sloppy officiating there in that final 30 seconds by Zach Zarba and his crew. So that was a little bit annoying. That was annoying. All in all, it is what it is. Again, good game by Cleveland. They were down two of their better players, and guys stepped up. Darius Garland played great. Dean Wade played great. So clap it up for them. Good win for them. Great team win for them. But the people overreacting now. Like, Austin Rivers was on ESPN overreacting to this. Then you have Colin Coward after this game calling out Jason Tatum after his missed clutch shot there at the end. He said, "You think Michael Jordan settles for that? You think LeBron James settles for that?" Like, are you kidding me? This is a team that is by far the best in the NBA. They've just lost their first game in 11 games, and everybody's overreacting. That kind of is what it is. It comes with the territory. But C's lose. Congratulations to Cleveland. We'll see you guys again. With that being said, it was announced earlier today that the Nuggets and Celtics will be playing two preseason games in Abu Dhabi next year in 2024. They're heading over there for two exhibition games. That was announced today. The first time that basketball will head to Abu Dhabi. More kind of Celtics news. Former Celtics, in pursuit of an NBA return, 11-year veteran Isaiah Thomas is joining the Utah Jazz's G League affiliate in Salt Lake City. The two-time All-Star still thinks that he could be valuable to a team for their postseason run. I would love to see Isaiah Thomas just as like the final roster spot for the Celtics, just strictly as a locker room guy. I'd love that. But IT expected to return after he's been out of the league for a bit now, but IT expected to return to the NBA. And of course, it was Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge in that Utah system probably had something to say about that. Who knows? But Isaiah Thomas expected to be back. Last bit of news here, talking some Red Sox. I got some good news for you. I got some bad news for you as we talk Sox here. I'll go good news last. We'll go good news last. Bad news is Alex Cora has put his house up for sale, his house in Newton, Massachusetts. So do with that as you wish. But Alex Cora may be a little bit annoyed with the lack of talent that ownership is kind of throwing his way. As Alex Cora has put his house for sale, his Newton, Massachusetts house has been listed on the market. Do with that information as you will. Other Red Sox news, the Red Sox, from Boston Globe's Alex Speer, are deep in talks with Brian Bello on a long-term deal past 2028. So instead of getting any free agents, we're just going to extend a guy that's already on the rotation. I actually do like this news. Brian Bello, in a very bad rotation, clearly is the best. So, I don't know if that's really a compliment. It's kind of a backhanded compliment. He is the best pitcher in that rotation. I would like to see him stay with the Red Sox. And they are now in talks for a long-term deal past 2028. So hopefully the Red Sox front office can do something and get that deal done. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here. Going to come back and wrap up the show with the bold takes. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
Here's another healthy tip from Newport Hospital.
The Lifespan Orthopedics team at Newport Hospital can help you lead an active, healthy, and complete lifestyle. Their providers see patients here on Aquidneck Island and perform life-changing surgeries at Newport Hospital, from sports medicine injuries to total joint replacement. For more information, go to ortho.lifespan.org.
Brought to you by Newport Hospital.
The Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce is working for your business. Member benefits and opportunities are adapting to current challenges. In addition to ongoing communications and outreach, the Chamber can connect you with even more web-based networking, virtual professional development, and marketing opportunities. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And visit NewportChamber.com. The Greater Newport Chamber is working for you.
In this festive time of year, you know that Seth and the crew will come through with a vast array of timely values at Fifth Ward Liquor. Stop by and see for yourself. Discover Bailey's Irish Cream at $27.99, Jameson 750s at $35.99, and Powers Irish Rye 175s at $39.99. Fifth Ward's stocked with the finest in Irish whiskeys. Proper 12 Irish whiskey is $29.99. Green Spot's in stock, as is Middleton Very Rare and Jameson 18 Year. And here's another great value. Jameson Orange Spritz in 4-packs, just $13.99. You know you can depend on Fifth Ward Liquor for their tried and true trio, selection, service, and savings. Fifth Ward Liquor, 695 Lois Thames, 847-4545.
The fun starts quicker with Fifth Ward Liquor. You better. Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-209-5173. 800-209-5173. That's 800-209-5173.
Your friendly officers here at Arrest a Pest serve and protect area homes, families, and businesses. Arrest a Pest has been providing the fix since 1986. No matter the pest, it ends in arrest. Arrest a Pest today. Call 738-3766. Pests, you detest them, and we arrest them. Hey, who loves you, baby? ArrestaPest.com. 738-3766.
Catch Straight Talk Money weekdays at noon on WADK 1540 AM, 101.1 FM, and WADK.com.
All right, back here on the Big Ticket. In our final segment, so it's time for the Bold Takes, where I take a player, a team, and a stance. Before I get into my first player tonight, I kind of briefly hit on Jason Kelce last night and his retirement. Just like all the videos coming out from that about Kelce and going back into the locker room and reaching out to all those team personnel and people like that, not necessarily all his teammates. He was just so beloved in that locker room. On top of that, Jason Kelce had the Eagles athletic trainer of 13 years. 13 years this guy had been his athletic trainer. Tape him up before his retirement announcement because the trainer couldn't be there for Kelce's last game due to undergoing chemotherapy. So gotta love that. Jason Kelce, a good guy and probably a Hall of Famer as well. I mean, I would assume he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But Jason Kelce, I feel like I didn't talk about him enough when he was going through the retirement, and we kind of missed that as that was, I believe, on Sunday or something, Monday. But Jason Kelce, good guy, and congrats on a great career. My first player tonight, though, is musicians. Musicians, because a wild story, man. a bizarre story. So a hardcore rock band called Lorona has fired their singer after he allegedly dosed his bandmate with estrogen in a plot to steal his fiance. Yes, you heard all of that correctly. The Nashville-based band revealed that the news in a post of their Instagram account, which has now been deactivated, but apparently their singer, Diego, was obsessed with the bassist's fiance. The bassist's name was Six, and Diego was obsessed with his fiance. The vocalist allegedly secretly dosed Six with estrogen in effect to make the bassist look more feminine and to use the opportunity to swoop in by looking stronger and more manly in comparison. It led to Six having to seek medical attention and racking up thousands of dollars in doctor's bills. It's been a while since we've seen a crazy band breakup, but here it is. I don't know if many people know of the band Lorona, again, a hardcore rock band, but their singer was drugging their bassist with estrogen to try to make the bassist appear more feminine so that, in contrast, he would look more manly to that bassist's fiance. Oh, what a long game. Like, what a long con. The creativity in this idea. But man, like, absolutely crazy. And not for nothing, like, I don't know if that makes you look more manly or just makes you look more psycho. I feel like that's kind of something you have to weigh your options here, because, yeah, maybe it makes you look a little bit more manly in comparison, but it also makes you look much more psycho as well. So, strange, but it's been a while since we've had a good band breakup. So there you go, musicians. My first player tonight. My second player tonight is Minnesota hockey fans, because in a high school game in Minnesota, it was the 1A final, where Rochester was going up against the favorite, Lakeville South. And Rochester scored their second goal in the third period to go up 2-0. And right in front of the fan section, they were celebrating the goal, and everybody was starting to bang on the glass. And the glass collapsed. They had two broken panels on the rink because the fans for Rochester were just going nuts. They were going crazy. And they broke the glass on the ice. They had to delay the game. It's interesting because this is high school hockey. Like, in NHL, you probably just get a glass replacement in there, easy peasy. But this is high school hockey. I can't imagine that they have somebody on site, or the glass panel there on site ready to be replaced just like that. Like, I would imagine that they might have had to postpone this game for maybe a day or two. I don't know. I'd have to follow that up. But Minnesota hockey fans, gotta love it. I love the passion. Bring that energy and maybe get some stronger glass as well, because those fans are nuts. Minnesota hockey fans, my second player tonight. My third player tonight is the legend himself, Joey Chestnut. Last night during the Cavs and Celtics game at halftime, Joey Chestnut went 3-1 in an eating competition. Him versus three other people. They were having a pierogi eating contest, and he ate 39 pierogies in 2 minutes. The three other contestants didn't even come close. He went 3-1 in a food eating competition and still won. This guy is incredible. He simply is unreal. They tried to make the playing field as even as possible. Next time, it's got to be like 5-1, because Joey Chestnut is a whole different animal. The guy is an absolute beast. I love him. Joey Chestnut, my third player tonight. My fourth player tonight is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, it was rumored today that he is pursuing Bill Belichick to join his Omaha Productions company. If Manning were to sign Belichick, the idea of teaming up with ESPN to create a Belichick and Nick Saban Manning cast is expected to be broached. So similar to what they do for Monday Night Football, where Peyton and Eli are on the Manning cast together, they're expected, if they can land Belichick, to do the same type of thing, except it's Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. That would be absolutely awesome. But the words "Manning lands Belichick in free agency" is a sentence that I don't think anyone would expect to be saying, but we could be talking about that. Belichick has been in talks with other companies like NBC and CBS as well, so we'll have to see. But Peyton Manning trying to get the deal done, let's do it, because I want to see that pairing of Nick Saban and Belichick on TV. That'd be awesome. Peyton Manning, my fourth player tonight. My fifth player tonight is Draymond Green. Draymond Green went on his podcast after the game, like he always does, and he basically backed up the strategy that Golden State took for Jaylen Brown, talking about leaving Jaylen Brown completely open for three, which he nailed like 5 3-pointers on Sunday. He said, "Jaylen Brown is 34% from three-point going into the game. You're not overly worried that he's going to start hitting threes, but he did." Well, let's keep in mind, you can't base that strategy around players' overall three-point percentage, which is largely contested threes, and expect the result to be the same when you leave them wide open. Wide open. On top of that, Jaylen Brown has made over 40% of his uncontested threes over the last three seasons. So, didn't look into that, did you? It's okay to, like, Draymond, if you're listening, it's okay to just say, "Yeah, that was a mistake. Yeah, we messed up. That one's on us." Because that was clearly a very bad strategy. Just admit it. Just admit it. Like, Steve Kerr has flaws too. That was a bad strategy. You don't need to go on your podcast defending it. Jaylen Brown is a very good player. You guys made a mistake, left him too wide open. you got, you know, you paid for it and lost by 50 points and got embarrassed by 50 points. Just admit, like, hey, yeah, sorry, that was a mistake. Our bad. It's okay to say that, Draymond. It is. Draymond Green, my fifth player tonight. My final player tonight is journalists, because apparently it was a slow week of news, because the New York Post put out a study, what they're calling a study, saying that long COVID, like if you had COVID for a long time, that could be the reason for your bad hangovers. So it's not the 20 beers that you had last night. It's because you might have had COVID. Now COVID is responsible for hangovers. No, you didn't drink too much last night. That couldn't be it. That couldn't be it. It's because you had COVID. Yeah, obviously. Like, is it? You really didn't have anything else to, you know, write about? Basically blaming COVID for your hangovers? What are we doing here? Like, oh, yeah. You know, I had a few drinks last night, but I think I'm really feeling bad because I had COVID a year and a half ago. That's why I'm feeling so dumpy this morning. I don't know about that. Don't know about that logic. I'm not a medicine guy, but that doesn't add up to me. Journalists, my final player tonight. All right, my teams tonight, I got an all underdog parlay for you in the NBA. The Celtics kind of hurt me last night. I went 2 for 3. We're going for 3 for 3 tonight, hitting on this all dog parlay. We'll start the first game on ESPN tonight in Houston. The Rockets taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm taking the Rockets +6.5 against the Clippers. The Rockets actually had a very unique stretch this past week or so. They had a stretch where they played the same exact teams pretty much back to back to back. They fared pretty well. So the past 5 games for the Rockets, they had 2 in a row against OKC, then 2 in a row against Phoenix. So 2 of the top teams in the Western Conference. But the Rockets, I still think with Ime Udoka, are trending in the right direction. Obviously, they've fallen a little bit in the Western Conference. Meanwhile, the Clippers going to be without Russell Westbrook, and I've never believed in them all season. So I'm taking the Rockets with the points at home at +6.5. Later on, the late game on ESPN in Golden State, the Warriors taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee has won 6 in a row, and they're underdogs for this game. Yes, Giannis is questionable, but still, I'm riding with the Bucks in this one. I'm taking the Bucks +4.5 on the road against the Golden State Warriors. And then later on, my bonus game tonight, I'm taking the Kings on the road +2.5 against the Los Angeles Lakers. My big question here is, can the older Lakers keep up with the Sacramento pace? The Sacramento Kings play at a very high pace. I don't know if LeBron and the boys can keep up with that. I'm taking the Pacers on the road +2.5. To lock that parlay in, I'm taking the Rockets +6.5. The Milwaukee Bucks +4.5. And the Sacramento Kings +2.5. Lock that parlay in. Get yourself some walking around money and support those local businesses. All right, my stance tonight. Apparently, we could see the end of the chain gang in the NFL. The NFL tested optical tracking in 2 stadiums and the Super Bowl last season for line-to-gain rulings. The technology isn't expected to be ready to roll out in 2024, but it could be coming after that. It would require a vote, but we could be seeing the end of the chain gang in the NFL. You know, the markers that mark off the 10 yards it takes to get the first down, kind of the simplistic, old-fashioned way, could be coming to an end, and it could be working as digitally, done digitally now. I don't understand this. Like, that's one thing in the NFL that's not broken. I always think it's kind of exciting when your team goes for it on a 3rd and short or 4th and short, and they spot the ball, and it's right around the 4th down, and they bring out the chains to mark it. That's always the exciting part. Like, this is one thing about the NFL that's not broken. Why fix it? We don't have to get, you know, technological with everything. We don't have to bring technology into everything. This is an old-fashioned way of doing things that still works. It still works, and it's still efficient. I don't understand it. Keep the chain gang in the NFL. Makes no sense. I hope it's here to stay, but we'll have to see. They're going to vote on it, I'm sure, in the next year or two. My second stance tonight is that the Washington Nationals are doing it right, and the Red Sox should take notes. The Washington Nationals announced that they're launching district tickets, a deal exclusively for Washington, D.C. residents. For $5, fans can buy home game tickets in sections 401 and 402 with proof of a D.C. residency. This Red Sox, take notes. Like, Washington, trying to get butts in seats, trying to cater to locals, and trying to support their fans. Whereas the Red Sox put awful quality on the field and yet are in the top three, I believe top two, in terms of overall ticket prices. Red Sox, take notes. The Nationals are doing it correctly. And my final stance tonight is Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith on his show First Take, he has a thing where he does Stephen A. Smith's list. And he had a list. It must be a slow kind of week here in news as a whole because he had a very weird list that he did. He did the top five list of NBA players most deserving of a statue. Yeah, very strange. I don't know why he made this list, but I thought I'd have a crack at it. His list of top five players that deserve a statue, number one was Steph Curry. Number two was LeBron for the Cavaliers. Number three was LeBron for the Heat, so two LeBrons there. Number four was Klay and Draymond, so I guess they both deserve the same statue in Golden State. I don't know why you wouldn't just put Steph, Klay, and Draymond all in one statue, but apparently Stephen A. doesn't like that. And then number five would be Giannis. So I took a crack at this one. Here's what mine would be. I agree, Steph Curry, number one, he deserves, a statue in Golden State for what he's done. He's been absolutely incredible, no doubt about it. LeBron in Cleveland, I'll give him that. He started his career there. He went back and won a championship. He's from Akron. He's from that area. So he'll get a statue, no doubt. One of the best to ever do it. I'm not giving LeBron a Heat statue. No chance. If D-Wade doesn't get one, then LeBron shouldn't. Like, D-Wade needs his statue before LeBron. But let's be honest. And I was doing all active players, by the way. All active players here. Number three, I agree, Giannis. Giannis brought a title to Milwaukee. One of the best players, probably the best player to play there since maybe Kareem. I might be missing somebody, but he's been spectacular. Number four would be Nikola Jokic. Like, Denver, that franchise never, ever won a title. They never won a title until last year. And Nikola Jokic, he's a two-time MVP, putting up crazy numbers. Like, he puts up crazy numbers every single year. So I'd say Denver deserves that for Nikola. If they're going to put up a statue of anybody, probably should be Nikola Jokic. A Nikola Jokic statue would look really, really funny. It would look really, really funny. And then number five, my final two, I'm going to say either Luka Doncic or Victor Wembanyama. Luka Doncic kind of puts up those empty stats, but I mean, he's already putting up better numbers than Dirk Nowitzki, and Dirk Nowitzki has a statue in Dallas already. So I guess the only thing really missing is Luka winning a championship. He kind of has to cross that off. And then Victor Wembanyama, I'm just kind of buying stock on that. I think that he's going to be incredible. So if he stays with the Spurs for his whole career, yeah, maybe. Maybe if the Jays win a championship, Boston outside the Garden gets a Tatum Brown statue. But overall, Stephen A very weird list to create who deserves a statue the most. But I took a shot at it as well. That's my list. Let me know what you think of it. With that being said, that is going to do for me here in the studio. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time as always. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. You've been listening to The Big Ticket with Teddy Horan on 101.1 FM, AM 1540, and WEDK.com. Have yourself a phenomenal night.
WADK Newport, powered by BD Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Tiverton. WADK, the voice of Newport.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin today, visiting her childhood home in Madison and supporting a worker apprenticeship program. Harris also responded to the presidential race after Nikki Haley suspended her campaign, leaving Donald Trump as the presumptive nominee against President Biden.